We're in Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. We've been looking at the responsibility of authority. Verse 10, his mouth must not speak treachery. The divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresses not, or should not transgress in judgment, in the verdicts that he makes. Verse 11, all his kingdom must be just. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. Verse 12, we looked at last week, righteousness is to be the standard policy of his kingdom. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. In verse 13, righteousness is to be the standard policy of the court, of all who are a part of the king's court. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speak right. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speak right. The qualifications on this verse, obviously, as you read that verse, you would wonder perhaps about particular kings. Do all kings love those who speak what is right? Well, we can come up with examples throughout the Old Testament where prophets, Jeremiah being one, who was thrown into a pit because he spoke the word of God to the king. I think our text, our proverb here, when he says, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speak right, I think there's a general principle here, first of all, that kings are those who are in authority who have any wisdom. Now, there are always fools, and he's not talking about kings who are fools, but those who have wisdom, they want people around them who are speaking the truth, what is right. Even wicked kings still want those in their court to tell them the truth. They don't want somebody telling them lies. And they may have all kinds of impure motives for what they want or what they want to hear, but they still want men, except for those that are just out of their head, and there have been plenty of those. So I think our proverb, we have to understand it in that way. There's a general principle here. Lips that speak what is right, lips that speak the truth. Turn to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel had the unique position as a prophet who was a part of the captivity. And he lasted through a number of administrations in the east, in Babylon, the Medes and Persians. He saw changes of power come and go. God supported him through those times. But Daniel chapter 2, certainly Daniel was a man who would be an example for us of one who had righteous lips. He spoke what was right. And he was the delight of kings. He was the delight of a number of kings. In Daniel chapter 2, in verse 24, therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and he said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king. I will show the king the interpretation. And Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, I found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. And the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, he'd been named that, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation? And Daniel answered in the presence of the king, the secret which the king has demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. But here is a man who had righteous lips. He spoke the truth. He's standing before a king in a foreign land. He has the opportunity to ingratiate himself to this king. He is going to give him the interpretation of the dream, but he does not take the glory to himself. He speaks the truth and he says, you want these guys to give you this interpretation. They can't do it. I can't do it either. But there is a God who can do it. And the king, of course, you know the story, appreciated Daniel and set him up on high. Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 19. Once again, another dream, another interpretation. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for an hour, and his thoughts troubled him. And the king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation trouble you. What does he mean by that? He means, tell me the truth. I want to hear all the truth. You remember in the temple when Samuel came to Eli. And Samuel was hesitant as a little boy, a young man, a little boy, to tell the dream, which had to do with the downfall of Eli. And what did Eli say? Tell me all the truth. The tree, he says, let not the dream or the interpretation trouble you. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation to your enemies. Which is interesting. Daniel had this affection for this foreign king, and he knew that the interpretation did not bode well for Nebuchadnezzar, and he goes to explain this dream, the tree that he saw. It is you, verse 22, O king, that are grown and become strong. Your greatness is grown; it reaches to the heaven. Your dominion to the end of the earth. This is the interpretation, verse 24, O king, this is the decree of the Most High, that they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass as an oxen, and they'll wet you with the dew of heaven. 7 times shall pass over you, 7 years, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and will give it to whoever he wills. Verse 27, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you, and break off your sins by righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. And obviously Nebuchadnezzar did not do that, because the dream came upon him for his rebellion. But what we see there is righteous lips. Daniel, who's standing in the presence of an Oriental king. Our proverb is dealing with Oriental kings. Oriental kings had all power. There was no checks and balances with them. They were all the checks and balances. Whoever they wanted to kill, they could kill. And some of the following proverbs actually talk about that are coming up. Daniel spoke the truth to this man and said, I wish this wasn't for you. I wish it was for your kings, but it's for you. And what you need to do is break off your sins. Chapter 5, verse 16. Again, more interpretations. And this time, Darius says, you know, I'll give you, in verse 16, I'll give you all these things, scarlet clothing, a chain of gold. You'll be the third ruler in the kingdom if you can interpret these things. And Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself. Give your rewards to someone else. I will read the writing to the king. I will make known the interpretation. Once again, righteous lips, very, very honest. And then he gives the interpretation of the writing. And verse 26, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Your weight in the balances, you're found wanting. Your kingdom is divided among the Medes and the Persians. And then commanded Belshazzar to clothe Daniel with scarlet, put a chain of gold on his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler. Though he just told him that your kingdom's gone. And what is our proverb? Our proverb is that righteous lips are the delight of kings. Though the prophecy was, he knew that Daniel was telling the truth. And there's a great premium on men who tell the truth, because not a lot of men do. Daniel chapter 6. And the story of the presidents and princes, verse 4 of chapter 6, who sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They could find no occasion because he was faithful. There was no error or fault in him. And so then what we find is these men do not speak the truth. They are deceptive. They bring up this law by which anyone who prays to anyone other than the king is going to be cast into the den of lions, going to be executed. And these men who dealt deceitfully with the king, they were the king's men underneath him. They got Daniel thrown into the lion's den, and of course God preserved him. And then what happened? The king was sorrowful all night that Daniel was in there, because the king loved Daniel, because he was a man who spoke the truth to them. As soon as Daniel was out of the pit, all the presidents and those guys who had deceived the king were in the pit and broken to pieces. Because, as our proverb says, righteous lips are the delight of kings. They love him that speak right. And Daniel is an example of this all the way through all these kings. How he spoke the truth, had integrity, was faithful, and men knew, whether they agreed with him or not, they knew he spoke the truth. Matthew Henry says, here is a further character of good kings, that they love and delight in those that speak right. They hate parasites and those that flatter them, and are very willing that all about them should deal faithfully with them and tell them what is true, whether it's pleasing or displeasing, both concerning persons and things, that everything should be said in a true light and nothing disguised. And those kings that don't want that, and who are peevish, and who want men to give them what they want, is dealt with in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 12. In Proverbs 29 and verse 12, it says, if a ruler hearkens to lies, all of his servants are wicked. If he's a man who doesn't want the truth, if he's a man who wants to be flattered and lied to, that's exactly what will happen. All of his servants will be wicked. Scott writes concerning that, when flatterers, slanderers, and false teachers are encouraged by the prince, good men either retire or are driven from employment under him, so that all affairs come into the management of the most unprincipled and mercenary wretches in the nation, to the irreparable disgrace and detriment of prince and people. Now, of course, this is an absolute principle. If you have somebody in leadership, and it doesn't matter if it's the king or if it's in a business or corporation, and you get somebody in the corporation who wants to be flattered, wants to be lied to, what happens? Anybody that's got an ounce of integrity leaves the place. And all the other guys come in like a bunch of parasites. And you've got nothing but a wretched business. Righteous lips are the delight of kings. They love him that speak right. David drove such men from him, men who were flatterers, men who did not love the truth as a king. In Psalm 26, a psalm of David, Psalm 26 in verse 1, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, prove me, try my reins and my heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I have not sat with vain persons, and neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. And so you can imagine David as a king. He was a king who walked in his integrity, and he would not have in his court men who were dissemblers, who were liars, who were deceivers. Those kinds of men would not stay long in his court. In Psalm 101, Psalm 101, another psalm of David. Verse Verse 6, my eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. That's who he wanted in his court, the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He shall serve me. He'll be in my court. That's the kind of guys I want. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, in verse 63, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and them that keep thy precepts. Psalm 119, 104, through thy precepts I get understanding, and therefore I hate every false way. George Swinnick writes, I hate every false way. Universality in this, hating every false way, is a sure sign of sincerity. Herod spits out some sins when he rolls others as sweet morsels in his mouth. A hypocrite ever leaves the devil some nest eggs to sit upon, though he takes many away. Some men will not buy some commodities because they cannot have them at their own price, but they lay out the same money on others. And so hypocrites forbear some sins, and yea, are displeased at them, because they cannot have them without disgrace or disease or some disadvantage. But they'll lay out the same love upon other sins which suit them better with their designs. I hate every false way. Psalm 119, 128. Therefore I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Psalm 119, 163, I hate and abhor lying, but your law I love. Righteous lips are the delight of kings. They love him that speak right, not the false way. The other example, and we think about David when he first came into the kingdom and how he was chased by Saul. But you remember when Saul died, Jonathan, and a man came to deliver the news, an Amalekite came to deliver the news about the death of Saul. This Amalekite had taken the sword to Saul. Saul had asked him to kill him so that the enemy would not get hold of him. And the Amalekite had done it. The Amalekite now runs to the camp of David, and no doubt with a great expectation that he will be a part of David's court, and that he will have a high position in that court because he has done away with Saul. And instead, when he comes to the court and he tells David, and David says, how did you dare to kill the Lord's anointed? And rather than being a part of the court, then David asks one of his mighty men to go up and slay him. So David was a man who emulates also this proverb, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. Now this man told what he did, but he thought what he did was right, and it wasn't, and therefore David would not accept him in his court. Thomas Weiss says about courts, sincerity and truth are too rarely found, and therefore value the more faithful advisor and love those best, not who make their approach with flatteries, but who speak right, what is the most conducive to the people's good, which is the monarch's true glory. Rehoboam had a bad counselor. It was some of the young men of his upbringing. And through that counsel, by not speaking what is right, and he delighted in it. Rehoboam delighted in it, and it was his fall. Ahab had Jezebel as a counselor. And that was the fall of Ahab as well. Part of his sin is that he adhered to those lies and the flatteries that she gave to him. Ahaziah also, it says in 2 Chronicles 22:2, 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign. He reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah. You'll recognize that name because she wanted the kingdom herself. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. His mother counseled him wickedly. He didn't last long. His mother then tried to take over the kingdom, and she also was destroyed by the Lord. Charles Bridges has a footnote in his commentary that deals with Constantius, the father of Constantine. We had just providentially just seen that today, looking over some of the history of Rome yet, and how Constantius was ruling in the West, and Constantine came to his father. And what Bridges says is this: Constantius, the father of Constantine, tested the character of his Christian servants by the imperative command to offer sacrifices to his gods. In other words, he's asking those who he knows are Christians, who are going to be a part, perhaps, of his court, to sacrifice to the gods. Some sunk under the trial. Those who had really bought the truth and would sell it at no price were inflexible. He banished the base compliance from his service, and the true confessors he entrusted with the care of his own person. These men, he said, I can trust. I value them more than all my treasures. This was sound judgment. For who are so likely to be faithful to their king as those that have proved themselves faithful to their God? So the ones that would not sacrifice and were ready to die, those he said, you're going to be in my court. Because righteous lips are the delight of kings. They love him that speak right, not just those who do what you want them to do. God has no flatterers in his court. Psalm 5:5 says, the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. God has no flatterers in his court. Only those with righteous lips. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Righteous lips are the delight of the King of Kings. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. What are they like? They're like the chaff which the wind drives away, so the ungodly shall not stand. Righteous lips are the delight of the King of Kings. But the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Because unto us a child was born, a son was given, and the government is upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called the Wonderful Counselor. The Wonderful Counselor. Righteous lips, the delight of the King of Kings. The righteous lips of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was and is the Wonderful Counselor. He is the one who always counsels us aright. The Holy Spirit as our counselor. He is the one who will always speak the truth to us. He is the God and the counselor who never flatters. He doesn't flatter us. And this principle needs to hold true in all places of authority. As I said, whether it's in the corporate world, or whether it's in the church, or whether it's in the home, no matter where it is, those who are underneath others have those who are over them in authority, are not to flatter them, are not to just tell them what they want to hear. They are to speak the truth to them, which means every wife is to be a wife who is willing to speak the truth to her husband, not to flatter him, not to just give him what he wants as far as words go, but to speak the truth. And if he is a man of God, he will appreciate that. If he is peevish, then he will be peevish about it, just like some kings are. A pastor should appreciate those who under him will tell him the truth. Not just be a yes man, not just go along with whatever he says. If they really believe that there is something that needs to be addressed, that he will be addressed by them. And there are those within the world, of the ecclesiastical world, that cannot be approached, and that do not believe that they can ever be questioned. But this is not wisdom. Righteous lips are the delight of anyone who has any wisdom and is in authority. Because you cannot make right decisions unless you have people around you who are willing to tell you the truth about what's going on and about what they see. It's for those of us who are mortal men, it is a great need. It is the great need of those who are in authority to have those under them who are speaking the truth to them. the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why he is God's favorite in God's court, because he ever spoke the truth. His lips always spoke righteousness, and therefore his Father loved him above all others, and loves him above all others. And he who spoke the truth to his Father, and while he was here upon the earth, to the chagrin of many authorities, especially the Pharisaical authorities, he will speak the truth to us, which is, it's a wonderful thing to have the wonderful Counselor as our Counselor. We are under him, but he comes to us as a great king, and the king counsels us as his underlings. He is the one that gives us counsel that we might be able to serve him right. He needs no counsel. He doesn't need our counsel. We need his, and he is faithful to give it. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his perfect example before us. And we thank you for the saints of old and for the example of David as well, who teaches us many things. We pray, O God, that you would make us faithful in, when we have those times and situations where there are those who are over us who need a word of truth given to them. Give us grace, O Lord, to speak the truth in love. We pray, Father, that you would direct us now into all thy truth, and continue to shape our minds, our thinking, by your word. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.